Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
A great good day to you. Welcome into the clubhouse. I just got this message from Houston. Hello, all. This is from Mark Rolfing, where I am now in Houston, halfway through my proton radiation treatments. I can see the finish line. We're very optimistic with the results of the proton therapy. I'm looking ahead to 2016 and what promises to be one of the greatest years of my broadcast career. You know, what's NBC got in store is an unbelievable 2016 with a Ryder Cup, an Open, and the Olympics. Amazing. We're giving away Bridgestone 2015 Lady Precept white or pink or optic yellow, if you'd like. Golf balls, giving them away during the show today. All you have to be is the ninth caller to win. And the number to call when we say call, it's 808-296-5467. And we're talking with Alex Maselli, Golf Week magazine, senior writer, correspondent, journalist, and now, I believe, publisher. We'll be back with him right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Creative Plumbing. Whether a high-rise or shopping center, a store or townhouse, custom or single-family home, call Creative Plumbing. Your plumbing has got to be done right, so call Creative Plumbing, 841-3287. And by Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, host to the Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years, an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities, Kauai's South Shore Gem. Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, company, or home project into artwork. Futura Stone can build you a special place for your friends and family to gather. Barbecues, fountains, water features, and outdoor lighting. Futura Stone. Only the best. And by Montgomery Power Sports, 550 North Nimitz Highway next to Liliha Bakery, featuring Indian, Victory, Suzuki, and Husqvarna motorcycles, Polaris ATVs, and GEM electric vehicles. Montgomery Power Sports, where first responder discounts never end. Montgomery Power Sports, where the rubber hits the road.
And congratulations, Odie Dill. Poipu Bay is where he lives, or probably most of the time. He won the two rounds of golf at Poipu Bay. If you'd like to play Poipu, there's a 9:10, a 10:20, an 11:30, and it's dry. It's clear there. And if you get into the pro shop, check out the rack. There's selected men's and women's tops and bottoms, 30 to 40% off. Alex Maselli, Golf Week Magazine. Welcome to the show, Alex.
Danny, I'm on the other line. I'm trying to be the ninth caller.
You know, a lot of guys like those lady precepts. They're soft. They're really good.
They go farther.
They go farther. Exactly. You get the distance and you don't lose the feel. You don't lose the touch. Maybe we should just start the rolling now. Keep it going. 808-296-5467. Give us a call. 808-296-5467. 296-5467. Bridgestone Lady Precept. Softest ladies' balls on the market. Softest core for longer distance and a better feel. And it's your choice. Optic yellow, white, or pink. All right, Alex. I've got to ask the big question. I understand that you've accepted the position as publisher of Golf Week magazine.
Yep. 3 weeks now in the job.
3 weeks in the job. But wait a second. I thought this would like end your traveling man, you know, status, going to Korea, coming to Hawaii. I was starting to get bummed. Are you still going to travel to events and cover them?
Yeah. I mean, I think, I know that most publishers probably don't do that. But I think it's important that you get out there and talk to people and see what's going on and don't lose that touch. So yes, I was in Korea for the President's Cup and I'm leaving in a week from tomorrow for Turkey and then China for the HSBC and then I'll be back. So yes, I will be traveling still.
Well, that's fantastic. I imagine in today's world of electronics, right, you can work and answer people as there's time zone issues, but you can do the work of what does a publisher do?
It's a good question. I mean, I'm still trying to figure it out myself. I think, you know, in these days, with everything that's going on, I think really kind of focus the direction of what we're doing with the magazine, with the website, with the other products that we have. I think that's a lot of it, just overseeing that, making sure they do what we're supposed to do, working with the advertisers and our partners, really, in making sure that we're doing what they're looking for, and also making sure that our readers are getting what they want. So it's kind of a multi-tiered thing. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of other issues involved with staffing and all those type of things, which I try to stay away from. But bottom line is somebody has to run the place, and so I guess that's my job now.
Excellent. I can't think of a more qualified person, frankly. You've been in the business. I mean, Alex Maselli, publisher, Golf Week Magazine, and senior writer, Golf Week Magazine, co-host of the Grill Room Golf Show. It's on TuneIn Radio, powered by Golf Week. Founder of Golf.com in 1993, back when nobody thought the internet was going to be anything. So you really have had you've been thinking way ahead. You have that kind of mind that sees into the future, where things are going. What kind of changes do you see the magazine making?
Well, I think, the way the magazine is now, where we might have been something that got in people's hands a little sooner, it takes longer now, just the cost of everything that's involved. So we'll be doing more features and more columns and more opinions there than we would be normally, and in turn do more of the news type of things on the website or some of the other products that we're working on. I just think that you can't write about the fact that the U.S. won the President's Cup and have it get in somebody's hands 10 days later.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. It's like, okay, that's old news in the garbage. And then you don't give your advertisers what they need, the exposure that they've paid for, because it's not getting into the hands and staying in those hands. Let's go to Korea.
I've already been there. I don't need to go back.
Seriously. No, was once enough for you?
I have to be honest with you. Korea was much nicer than I had anticipated it would be. The people were nice. It's very modern. The only thing is, and I find this with China as well. You go down to a local Korean restaurant, which there are. I live in outside of Washington D.C. So you go to a local Korean restaurant, which actually has a restaurant in Seoul, and I eat what they have at that restaurant, and it's terrific. I really like it. I like going there. Then I go to Incheon, and I look for something similar, and I have to be honest with you, the food was a little different. So that was the little disappointing part. And somebody has said to me, well, the Sheraton over there has got a great Italian restaurant. I'm like, well, I didn't come to Korea for Italian food.
No, but they do adjust the dishes to our tastes. And I think that's what throws us off when we go. And you never know, what you're eating sometimes. And sometimes it's better not to. Just, serve me and I'm going to eat it. If you say this is what is Korean, then I'm going to have that. Sometimes it's just best not even to question it.
Ask questions.
Yeah, don't ask questions. Now, what about the President's Cup? What do you rate its success at? What level?
Well, I would say this President's Cup, I would rate the success of this one at 12. On a scale of 10. And the reason I rate it so high is because it didn't matter about the outcome, I mean, regardless of who won or who lost. I rate it this high because it was never really a competitive venture. I mean, even when the internationals won the one time in Australia, I mean, they kicked the U.S.'s butt. It was never competitive, really competitive. And this one was extremely competitive and extremely exciting. And it came down to the last match of the last day, which is exactly what the internationals have been preaching for the last 6 years, that this is what was required. And for whatever reason, the hierarchy of the PGA Tour wasn't listening. And finally they did. And now, of course, all of a sudden, now that it happened as it did and it came down to the last match, now the PGA Tour is overly excited about the fact that that was the case. Well, it could have been like this before if they would have just listened.
I'm a little confused. What did the international squad want to do to make it competitive that the PGA Tour or PGA of America wasn't listening to?
No, PGA Tour. They wanted to take the matches down from the current 30, the current 34, I guess it was, to 30 or 28, really, actually, like the Ryder Cup. They didn't want to have as many matches during the President's Cup as they did less than they did like at the Ryder Cup. Because they said the less matches we have, the more likelihood is we're going to have competitiveness. So the tour, because, basically everybody played the first day. So there were six matches on Thursday, six matches on Friday. So that was 12 matches. And the Ryder Cup is only 8 matches, on the first day, basically, to 4-4. And so they took the tour agreed to move it from 34 to 30, and not 34 to 28, because they didn't want it to be like the Ryder Cup. Well, the bottom line was is we got 34 to 30. We took four matches out. Now, what happens there is there's the argument that, well, what it does is it allows the internationals to hide players. Well, I don't care what that does, but what it does basically is it makes the chance of it being more competitive more likely, and that's what ended up happening.
Yes, so, I see.
We had 30 matches, and it was great, and everybody was excited, and it was interesting and thrilling, and everything that the President's Cup hasn't been since 1994.
I couldn't agree with you more. It was fabulous. It was exciting. It was challenging, and I had a sense that the internationals could win if things had just like Jason Day. If Jason Day had been playing, where was Jason? Somewhere else. It would have been. It could have been an international victory. So what I understand you're saying is with the fewer matches, then they can take the guys who aren't playing well, let's say Jason Day, put him on the side, and then the people who are playing well, they can play rather than requiring all players to play a certain number of rounds.
Well, that's to some extent true. Everybody has to play at least two of the four matches prior to singles.
Mm-hmm.
But what it really does is this is the law of big numbers. I mean, the less matches you have, the more likelihood is it's going to be competitive. And even with the Ryder Cup, even when the Europeans are four up going into Sunday singles, it still seems competitive. And so that's all they're trying to do is try to make an opportunity to make it more competitive. And I think they did that this time, and that's why I give it a 12.
So is the President's Cup an exhibition and the Ryder Cup isn't an exhibition?
I think they're both exhibitions and they're both competitions. They were started as exhibitions, and they are both grown into competitions now.
And so as the international, I think this international team has started to gel because these guys are around each other much more, given their access, their abilities. The global golf has just come on so strong in the last 15 years. They've grown. Now they're playing on the PGA Tour. Now they're competing against these guys. They're getting to know these guys. They're not intimidated so much by the U.S. players.
I think that's true, but I think what Nick Price found, who was the captain of the international team, what he realized after the first day when he didn't have a very good situation in regards to what the result was, he started pairing players together that were of the same nationality to the extent that he could. And it was amazing by doing that how much better the results were over day two and day three. Because they took off, they were 4 points down after day one, and they made almost all that up. They were only 1 point down by the time we got to singles.
Yeah.
And a large part of that was pairing players up by nationality.
Excellent. Yeah, and very good point. And it's amazing. The South Africans, the Australians, they're really strong. How about not pairing or, having Jason Day and Jordan Spieth wage war against one another?
Well, that gets back to another thing. That gets back to, is it an exhibition or a competition? I mean, an exhibition, you'd want to see Jordan Spieth playing against Jason Day, right? I mean, that's what you're coming for. That's what you're paying for.
Exactly.
In a competition, you're going to do whatever's best for your team to win. And
voila.
In that particular scenario, that wasn't what was either Nick Price or Jay Haas, depending on who made that final decision. It wasn't best in their minds to do that, to make the team win. And so they didn't do that. And anybody that complains about that, then they don't understand what this is all about.
All right. We're going to take a break. I want to talk to you about what you thought of the 2015 season and what you expect in 2016. We're going to take care of the people who take care of us. We'll be back right after this. I'm talking with Alex Maselli, publisher, Golf Week magazine, and senior writer and correspondent journalist. I'm Danielle Tucker, The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily.
They don't put off repairs till the next month.
Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right.
That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call. Poipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends.
When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Okay, before we get to the season review of 2015 and what's up in 2016, I want to ask Alex Maselli one more question. He's a publisher now of Golf Week magazine for the last 3 weeks. He's been publisher. And why did you want to take on this job, Alex?
Because I'm nuts.
Well, I thought, okay, that makes sense. He wants to be more centrally located, like spend more time at home, so he'll give up the travel, so he'll be the publisher. But now you're telling me you're going to travel and be the publisher. It's like, wow, Alex, how much more do you want to do in life? As much as you can give me.
Yeah, you know, I think the honest answer to that is that I have a lot of friends at the magazine. And at the company, and it was clear that there were some changes need to be made in direction, and the fact that they asked me, I take it on as a kind of a personal goal to see if I can't get it done. I mean, I've run a lot of companies, and thankfully not run them in the ground, and so I thought I would try this out, and so that was it. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm 50. I shouldn't tell you how old I am right now, but I'm no. I'm 57, going to be 58 in December, and I only got so many things I'm going to do that's left, and so this is just one of them, and so I'm going to see what we can do to get it going.
Excellent. Are you going to be on Golf Channel soon to talk about your ideas for Golf Week?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I miss you, when you did On the Range, that was a great show, when you talked about the equipment the guys were using and standing there watching how they were preparing. I enjoyed that. So the season review, we gave a grade for the President's Cup. It scored outstanding. What do you give 2015?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure how you could have had. I mean, obviously, let's put it this way. There's not anybody that was jumping up and down saying, where's Tiger? In 2014, 2015, really.
Uh-huh.
Jordan Spieth, Jason Day, Zach Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Ricky Fowler, they all took care of that. They all made the situation such that nobody was really wondering where Tiger Woods was.
They made a very exciting season. You're right.
Yeah. And I think that answers the question how good the season was. And there's no indication that it's not going to be just as good in 2015, 2016. I think that there's a lot of questions about, not about when Tiger's going to return, even though obviously that is a question, but there's more questions on, can Jordan Spieth do something like he did last year, this year? Is Jason Day as good as we think he may be? Rory McIlroy went without a major last year. Will he, in fact, find a way to win a major? There is some questions about Phil Mickelson. And then there's going to be we're going to get all tied up into who's going to make the Olympic team. You'll find that there will be some interest level on that. And then once we get past all that, four majors and Olympics, then we got a Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
And, and then after all that, we start all over again. So I think that this is going to be a very, very, very exciting season. There's no reason to indicate it won't be. There's so many big events this time around. So I think 15, 16 could be just as good, if not better, than 14, 15.
What do you think of Tiger Woods wanting to be an assistant captain for Ryder Cup?
That tells me a lot, actually. It tells me, A, that back in the day when people thought he didn't care, he probably actually deep down did care. I think, B, it tells me that he doesn't think that he's going to be ready to be able to play in a Ryder Cup because his game is not going to be there, and he wants to plant the seeds right now with Captain Davis Love, who there's no question in my mind that if Tiger Woods said to Davis Love he wants to be an assistant captain, that Davis Love wouldn't make him assistant captain. I think you'll find that Stricker would probably be an assistant captain as well. And if Furyk didn't make the team, he'd probably be an assistant captain in Tiger. So I think that's pretty much of a lock already. I just think that Tiger knows that I think he really understands now why he's probably not going to be able to come back anywhere close to as good as he used to be. It's just not in the cards for him, and I think he understands that.
Yeah, at 14 majors and what, 82 wins? Maybe not that many. 81? How many
something
wins?
Something like that.
Yeah,
you something
know,
like
I
that.
Mean, Let's talk. You know, the guy's got some records, and we keep saying, Jordan Spieth making records in history. Yeah, it was a great year, great year, and just to see if it'll keep on going, because what Tiger Woods pulled off was pretty amazing. And I've always believed that it meant a great deal to him, all of the competitions. And it seemed to me that the guys inside the locker room who played with him as a team member thought the same thing. I could be wrong. I was never in the locker room, so what do I know? It's all speculation. I'm really looking forward to 2016. I think it's going to propel the sport forward. Those great events that you talked about, you know, that's going to be the focus of this year. Is what's going to happen at our majors, at the Ryder Cup and the Olympics. I think that'll be fantastic. I'm really looking forward to all of the action. What I'm still kind of perplexed by, and I understand that this new season that just started this week, fries.com open, you know, the season started again. It just ended 2 weeks ago. I'm just not... Yay, Brendan Steele, Will Cox, Jonathan Vegas, Graham Dillette. You know, really excited for you guys that you're playing and that you can get up those FedEx points, get in there and get going. But it's hard to get excited about it without having a chance to miss it.
Well, Danielle, it's like living in Hawaii. I mean, every day is the same kind of day. I mean, the weather doesn't change. I mean, you got to get used to that.
Okay, fine. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying. It's just...
I know. It should have ended, and it should start in January. There's no question about that. I mean, we always believe, we meaning the media, the educated media, because we have some uneducated ones as well. But... the educated media believes that it should start. It should have ended about the president, rather the PGA Championship, and should start back up again in the middle of January after the Super Bowl. That would be the optimum.
Yeah.
But it doesn't.
You know, yeah.
Right. And Tim Fincham wants to create as many playing opportunities for his players as possible. And I think if you were a player, you'd want to play as many opportunities as you could.
No doubt about it. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's where we are.
And if we've got sponsors willing to put up $3-5 million per event, so this purse can be as gargantuan as it is, you know, that's the big difference between PGA Tour, LPGA Tour. We look at the money that's focused on just 125 guys and maybe 60, 70 girls. It's amazing. And then the drop down to, let's say, web.com, great tour, don't get me wrong. And Futures, Sumitro Tour, you know, it's huge. You can hardly earn a living when you're not playing on the major tours. It seems it should be spread out more, but, you know, that's just not the way life is.
It's not communism, Danielle.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so... when we look at the future of golf course design, and I'm thinking of Jim Justice and Oakhurst, we had an open of the U.S. Open at Chambers Bay, a course that was designed to get a chance to host maybe more than one U.S. Opens. And now Mr. Justice is started Oakhurst, and they want to have a U.S. Open there. Now, Jim Justice has got a lot of money, Greenbrier. He's got Trevino player Nicholas and Palmer designing this course. Is that the future of big money and golf courses, to design a course that'll host a U.S. Open?
Well, you know, Jim Justice has never had a course designed. And it always sounds good that you want to have a U.S. Open, but let's be honest. Who wants to go to Greenbrier in the middle of West Virginia for a U.S. Open? You know, when you made Chambers Bay, you're in Tacoma, which is right outside of Seattle. When you did Erin Hills, you're not that far from Milwaukee or Chicago. There's nothing, I mean nothing, near the Greenbrier. You look at Mike Kaiser, who has been involved in some of the probably the best design courses in the country, has not designed one of those courses to hold a major.
Okay.
And I just don't think I don't think you can just say, I want to build a course that's going to hold a major and then hold a major. I just don't think it works that way. And I'll be honest with you, it's not only about the golf course. There's a lot about infrastructure, a lot of those issues as well. And I don't see the players saying, yeah, let's all fly down to Greenbrier and let's go play a U.S. Open there.
Yeah.
They don't have anything close to enough room, regards to fans and, housing and hotels, and it just, none of that makes a lot of sense. So Jim Justice can say what he wants, but at the end of the day, I don't think that makes much sense.
Yeah, Alex Maselli is publisher, Golf Week magazine, senior writer, correspondent, journalist. He's also a member of the Golf Writers Association of America, and he's often point man, and he goes to an event and make sure the media's needs, so they can cover the event and give it what it needs, so the public publicity and get the word out. That's what he does. So when he talks about infrastructure and what's needed for something like a U.S. Open to be successful, he knows what he's talking about. But, you know, Chambers Bay is kind of out in the middle of nowhere, but it was close enough to host it because, as you said, Tacoma, Seattle being so close by.
Well, not only that, I mean, we lived, we rented a house that we could walk to the golf course from. What house are you going to be renting at the Greenbrier that you could walk to the golf course?
Okay.
And not only that, the Oakhurst course, where it is, it's not next to the resort per se, meaning next to the resort hotel and everything. It's off the beaten path. So it's, I don't know, maybe 5 miles or so, whatever it is, from the Greenbrier. So it's not even close to that.
I gotcha. So this is also a course that's being built on top of a mountain, and
right.
Most of it is downhill. But, I mean, the idea of having the Kala, as we call it in Hawaii, to hire Trevino player Nicholson Palmer to do your course, phenomenal, wonderful stuff.
Well, right, but let's back up for a second. You know, you take four geniuses and put them together. Is that better than having just one genius?
Not necessarily.
Right, and that's one of the problems. I mean, I don't think that they certainly all did things differently. They all played differently. Palmer played differently than Nicklaus, and Nicklaus played differently than Player, and Player played differently than Trevino. None of them played the same. So, you know, when you look at Jack's courses, you'll see certain aspects of Jack, how he played golf, how he thinks golf should be played. Trevino, who's got completely different ball flight, completely different thoughts, is not going to say, yeah, that makes sense, Jack. Let's do it that way.
He says all he wants is the par threes. Just let me do the par threes. So what is on your mind? You know, what in the state of the game concerns you?
Well, I think right now, no matter how popular the game is professionally, it is not growing. In fact, the growth is declining in the amateur ranks, meaning the people, the everyday player and the good amateur player is declining. I mean, people are not playing as much. You look at surveys that are done. I mean, most recently, a survey that I saw that I thought was pretty good was by the RNA. They had over 60,000 respondents explaining different aspects of the game. And one of the biggest questions is, why do you not play more? And their answers weren't because it was too expensive or it's too hard, or the equipment's too expensive. Their reasoning was because they have more requirements on their time now than ever before, either personally or professionally. We can't change that. You know, we can't make a rule change that says, well, we'll make it easier for you to be able to do it, to play golf. We can't do that. If it was something where it's too hard, we can maybe work on that. Or if it's too expensive, we can work on that. But those were way down the list. And so I think that's really a concern. And it doesn't matter, you know, that there's a Jordan Spieth at 22 playing great golf or anything else. That's not going to change these people's desires or needs in regards to what they have to do professionally and personally.
Yeah, the only thing it does is, for those people who would love to go out and play, but instead watch a few rounds on television, you know, you've got to give them good entertainment. So let's hope.
Yeah, but that's always been the case. I mean, from the TV standpoint, well, I'm not sure if they give them good entertainment necessarily, but from the TV standpoint, TV has done very, very well with golf over the years. And they're in a great place with the PGA Tour. Everybody's happy from the network side, from the advertiser side, and from the tour side. But that does not change the need to have more people playing, and we're not. And I don't think there's anything we can physically do right now to change that.
You're right. There's no way, unless we all decide to actually take vacations again
Right.
And that's something we can't really decide to do because there's so much work that still needs to be done. Alex Maselli, are you going to come back to Hawaii for, let's say, the Hyundai Tournament of Champions, Sony Open?
Yeah, I'll be back for the Hyundai Tournament Champions, which, by the way, I think this is fair to say, this. I think this is the last Hyundai Tournament of Champions. I'm not sure who's going to be sponsoring if SBS continues to sponsor it in 2017 or not, but I think this is the last year for Hyundai. Huh. And I will do Hyundai, and I will do Sony. And Sony, by the way, is one of my favorite events of the year.
Fantastic. I can't wait to see you. It's going to be fabulous.
Yes.
And
yes.
And Mark Rolfing will be off in the ocean fishing because he's going to be good to go. No time.
Yeah, I know he's got a lot of struggles, and I know a lot of people are concerned about him. But I'm not concerned about him because I know how Mark is, and when he puts his mind to something, he'll figure it out. And it sounds like he's doing just that.
Exactly. He is. He is. And he's got he's a consummate optimist. Thanks for being on the show. I look forward to talking to you. You know, if you're calling in from Turkey, it's a perfect time of day.
I'll remember that, Danielle.
Aloha. Travel safe.
Take care.
We'll be back with Mike Johnson. He's the equipment editor, senior equipment editor, and he's a hot list member, and he's just back from some hot list meetings. We're going to talk with him about equipment, what you need in 2016. I mean, can they put any more bells and whistles on clubs? Right after this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Montgomery Power Sports, serving Hawaii statewide for 65 years. Family owned and operated. You'll find motorcycles by Suzuki, Indian, Victory, Husqvarna and Polaris ATVs and multifunctional vehicles, and Jam Electric vehicles. Visit our showroom with our friendly, knowledgeable staff at 550 Nimitz Highway next to the Lehigh Bakery. Financing available OAC. Montgomery Power Sports. Wear the tires. Grab the road.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Hoipu Bay.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
First off, let's get right to it and give away some ladies' precept. The Bridgestone 2015 Lady Precept White or Pink or the Optic Yellow golf balls. And all you have to be is the ninth caller. The number is 808-296-5467. 808-296-5467. And that's a 12-pack. A 12-pack of Bridgestone 2015 Ladies Precept White or Pink or Optic Yellow golf balls will be sent to you by moi. Now, in the clubhouse, we need to talk with him because I'm starting to feel just a little bit lost in the equipment business. Just, there's so many different things going on, so many new clubs. This technology just keeps changing and getting better, I guess. And when I say at the end of my show, may you all hit the sweet spot every time, I mean, the sweet spot's practically the whole club now. Let's get Mike Johnson, Golf Digest Senior Equipment Editor, into the clubhouse. Hot List team member, welcome to the show, Mike.
Hey, Danielle, how are you?
Good, real good. And you just got back from a Hot List meeting?
We did indeed. As we like to say, Hot List isn't a some-of-the-time thing, it's an all-the-time thing. A big part of that are our meetings with manufacturers. We just spent a week out in California and Texas meeting with Callaway, TaylorMade, Titleist, Nike, and Ben Hogan. And I wandered into my house about 2:30 a.m. this morning.
Thanks for being on the show. I'm glad it's about 12 hours. Not quite. Almost 12 hours later, you've had some sleep.
I've had some sleep and I've had some coffee, so I'm good to go.
You're good to go. When do you get together and figure out your hot list? It comes out in February, but you must make the decision sooner than that, huh?
We absolutely do. We're kind of getting to that main point now. The culmination of our process, really, is our Hot List Summit meeting, which is going to take place in Arizona in about 10 days. And it's a two-week summit meeting in which we bring in leading academics from around the country, hold a couple days of meetings with them to kind of run through all the technology stories presented to us by the manufacturers. We ask the manufacturers to supply a number of white papers. Some of them are as much as, you know, we got one recently that was 40 pages just on the driver.
Wow.
So there's a lot of technological horsepower to go through. It's kind of like being in physics class for 2 or 3 days, but they really help us out there. Then we meet with a bunch of retailers for 2 or 3 days. They kind of let us know what companies are doing things well in the areas like fitting, customer service, what kind of resonates with the consumer and what doesn't. Doesn't necessarily have to be a company. It can be a technology or a color scheme even. They help us determine what's going to be hot in 2016. And then we do our player testing. We have 16 players that we very carefully vet to make sure that they can, A, stand up to the rigors of hitting golf balls for several hours a day and be able to articulate what they are experiencing with each of the clubs. Then after all that's done, we come back, the editors huddle in a room, conference room. That is about a two-week process where we literally slug it out trying to determine, you know, trying to kind of go through these shades of excellence, if you will, and determine a point value for each criteria that we have for each and every club.
Wow. I need to ask you about your testers. How old is the range? I don't need to know. I don't mean how old, but what is the age range of your testers? And how good are they at the game? Are they excellent, expert, or are they regular players?
They're all, for the most part, they're all pretty good. Our handicap range is from +2 to 15. I would say we have about 4 players in that 12 to 15 category. Everybody else is a single digit. We've got about 6 who are in the 3 and under, and then we have another 6 who are kind of between 5 and 10. We really don't want to go higher than that, except for a group we bring in. We bring in one group of 6 players that is between, say, 17 and 22, and all they test are super game improvement irons.
Excellent.
And the reason we do that is kind of the focus, you know, that is the target audience for that. And to have a +2 handicap test super game improvement irons makes no sense.
No.
They're going to hit a 6 iron up in the air like it's a 9 iron.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking that too. It would be uncomfortable for them to try to use those clubs. You know, when you're used to a blade and then you go to something that's very thick, you wouldn't have the feel. You'd feel strange. You couldn't actually honestly evaluate the club with any accuracy for the person who is a 22 and needs the help.
Well, that's absolutely right. So for super game improvement irons, we put our better players on the bench. And for our players irons category, we put our less skilled players on the bench. We want people who are kind of the target audience for those clubs, hitting those clubs and giving us feedback. And as for ages, it's a range. We have some in the young 30s, early 30s, and we have a couple in their early 50s. I can tell you the one thing all of them have, though. They all can stand up to the rigors of hitting golf balls pretty much from 8:30 a.m. until 3 in the afternoon. We obviously give them plenty of breaks in between, but when I say their last ball is as good as their first, I really mean it. Being a hot list player panelist, is an acquired skill, and these guys do it very well.
Now, we're going to talk technology. When you said you're in a physics class, you mentioned that CASAS and the International Space Station. I mean, I was wondering when somehow NASA had an impact on golf, because they brought so much to our world that we would never have gotten if it hadn't been for space exploration. So how's the International Space Station project helping golf club design?
Well, you hear companies all the time say they use space age technology. In the case of Cobra, they mean it literally. You know, they have partnered with NASA and CASAS and the International Space Station in a project in which they learn how certain materials are going to react under certain extreme conditions. And by working with them, their findings led to the creation of a new weighting system that they've used in their new King LTD driver, which led to this spaceport in the bottom of the club, as they like to call it. And the port is essentially a see-through window where you can literally see inside the club. Now, that's kind of cool in and of itself. A lot of people don't get to see what's inside a modern-day driver. But it also is practical in that its position allows the company to take weight out of there and put it exactly where they want it to create a lower and deeper center of gravity, which produces less spin and a better launch angle, which is kind of that less spin, higher launch is a best of both worlds situation.
Interesting. So, yeah, it wasn't just sort of arbitrarily, as nothing is done in golf course or golf club design, nothing is arbitrarily placed. It's got a purpose. Interesting. Now, there was another article that I read about irons going away and hybrids taking over. Is
yeah.
that really a trend?
Well, ever since Todd Hamilton won the British Open, kind of bunting the ball around and using his Sonartech hybrid off the tee and then also using it into greens and even using it to chip, I think the hybrid category has been one that's come to the mainstream. And it's kind of had its ebb and flows over the years, both at everyday golfer level and also on tour. Shortly after Hamilton won, it was not a stretch to see 180 hybrids in the field at any tour event. Now it's kind of closer around 100. But what you're seeing is kind of this question of, is it an iron replacement or is it a fairway wood replacement club? Mm. And I think for everyday players, they should be looking at this solely as an iron replacement club. Most everyday players, even single-digit handicappers, they have trouble hitting a 3-iron, 4-iron. Some even have trouble hitting the 5-iron. And even if you can make that contact with the ball, you can't get the height you need to hold the shot onto the green. Does no good if you hit a great 4-iron and it lands on the green and scoots off the back. So the hybrids are a little easier to hit, and they definitely get the ball higher in the air. But what people need to pay attention to when they're deciding what hybrid is going to replace what iron, it's a 4-hybrid doesn't necessarily replace a 4-iron. The shafts are usually lighter. They are usually longer. The hybrid will usually go slightly further than the corresponding iron. So it's entirely possible that if you want to replace your 4-iron, you might do so with a 5-hybrid, as that's going to get the distance that you want.
Wow, good information. As for fairway woods, I'm so uncomfortable with a fairway wood. What would you replace a wood with?
Well, I would have two things to say about fairway woods, and I've been on my soapbox about this almost from the time I got into golf publishing, which is longer than I care to admit. But I think for everyday golfers, 3 woods, for 90% of them, are a terrible idea. They're just too difficult to hit off the ground, and you don't get that much benefit with them off the tee. What I've always been a proponent of is either a 3-high launch or a 4-wood, basically a 17-degree fairway wood. We did a test at Golf Digest 3 years ago with everyday players across all handicap categories with a 3-wood off the tee and a 4-wood off the tee, a 3-wood off the turf and a 4-wood off the turf. In both instances, the 4-wood actually went further, it went higher, and it had a tighter dispersion. And I think the reason is that extra loft offers a bit of comfort at address. Players tend to swing a little more freely with it instead of coming in at the steep angle of attack, and they're able to make better contact more consistently with the ball. So number one, I would say if you're going to use a fairway wood, look at adding some loft. The second part is if you're really looking for control, you can go to a lower lofted hybrid. The shaft will be shorter than a corresponding fairway wood. The head will be a little smaller, so you're not going to get as much pop off of it, but you're going to make better contact more often, and you're going to be much more consistent with it.
And that's what I want. More contact, more consistency. Thank you. We're talking with Mike Johnson. He's Senior Editor, Equipment, Golf Digest, and on the Golf Digest Hot List team. And they're going to be getting together, doing their summit. 10 days, did you say that was, Mike?
Almost 2 weeks.
Wow. Okay. And that's when you... How many are there on the team?
Well, when you add in all our editors, all our panelists, and all that, we have over 45 people that are going to be involved in the summit meet.
Do you boil it down to a smaller group when you make the final decisions?
Yeah, the final, as we like to tell everybody, all these panels, our academics, our retailers, our players, everything, these are just data points that we consider, and there are a lot of them. But when it gets right down to it, it is just the Golf Digest editors that are judges in the process, and that group is led by Mike Statura, my coworker, and myself. And only the judges have a vote. Only the judges have a say. So that group is really much smaller when we get in the conference room and we start debating. But to give you a sense a little bit for what it's like, 3 years ago, we had one debate just on which driver was going to be our leader in the innovation category. So two clubs in one of our four categories in just drivers, and it took us 13 hours to come to a decision.
Do you get a vacation after that? I certainly hope so.
No vacation after that, because after all that, we get to sit down and write the package.
Oh, okay. But you're still friends, and that's the main thing. Let's talk a little bit about wedges as we wrap. I was looking on golfdigest.com on some of the new wedges, and just the list, there's five, and a lot of people are very comfortable with wedges. Callaway Mac Daddy 3, Cleveland Smart Sole 2, the Mizuno S5, the Ping Glide ES, the Tour Edge Bazooka 1-Out Plus. Let's start with the Tour Edge Bazooka 1-Out Plus, just because the price is so reasonable and the name is so out there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, Tour Edge is a really interesting company. I think it's one that a lot of people should take note of. If you're looking kind of for a nice value, kind of a nice entry-level, high-quality set of clubs, for players that really are just looking to do the basics of the game, get the ball in the air, get the ball out of the bunker. I mean, that wedge, for instance, is solely designed for a singular purpose, which is get it out of the bunker in one shot or get it up in the air when you need to pitch to the green. It has almost zero versatility to it, but that's fine.
Yeah.
That type of player does not have the game to lay it open and try to hit a flop shot or shut it down and try to hit a little check and run. So they have addressed a need in the marketplace, and the price, you can't beat it.
Excellent. The Callaway Mac Daddy 3, is that inspired by any particular person?
Well, there's a certain left-hander on their staff that has a lot of input into what they say, and it's no different with this wedge. The Mac Daddy 3 is kind of the culmination of their kind of three-year process here on their Mac Daddy line of wedges, and what they've done is they've addressed the idea of different sole grinds to address different types of swings into the ball, different types of shots that they want to be hit, and the like. What they also have is a different groove pattern in the lower lofts as opposed to the higher lofts. They have a less aggressive groove in the lower lofts, figuring the 50, 52, 54 degree, figuring those are full swing clubs, and you're already imparting a fair amount of spin on the ball, And what you don't want to do is kind of rip it back off the green. On the higher lofts, clubs that you use around the green, you need all the spin you can get. And they're going to give you the most aggressive groove possible within the USGA limit.
Well, I already see a reason to buy both of those, even though they're not made by the same manufacturer. I've always been a proponent of getting a club that it doesn't matter who makes it. If it does the job for you, put it in your bag.
That's absolutely true. You know, a lot can be said for being comfortable with the equipment you're playing, liking to look down at it. If you can get that confidence level looking at the club, you're already halfway home.
Okay. And on a final note, I was watching President's Cup on Golf Channel, and there was this this commercial that kept playing over and over and over again about the ultimate rescue club and Bruce Fleischer and Kick-X. You know, I thought, how can you just make one club and sell it on television? How, I mean, does it, is it good? Does it really save you? I mean, there's been clubs like this that have been bought up but then discovered to be really not much value. And I'm not saying that about this club, but then I thought, well, who makes these things? And I know as I said in my email to you, in the cosmetic business, you can go out and get a full line of cosmetics, slap your name on it, you know, whatever the salon name you want, and you can pretend of, and people don't usually ask, did you really design this? You know, you can pretend that you did, at least. Is that the same? Is there anything? It seems like golf balls are constantly being sold by different smaller companies. Does that work in golf clubs, too?
Yeah, it's a real interesting dynamic. And like you said, Danielle, it really started in golf balls. And I think part of that reason is golf balls are a little easier to get into the business, too, than clubs because they're a little simpler to produce. But what you have both in balls and clubs are what we call open models. Over in China, you have a number of companies. Foremost is one of them in golf balls. And then you have others who produce foundries that produce golf clubs. Yes, they will produce for all the major manufacturers the designs that the manufacturers submit to them. But they also kind of produce these things on their own. And what they're called are open models. And they have these catalogs where people can literally go over, kind of go through what the open models are that are available and say, yes, I want this to be the, you know, Mike Johnson driver. And yeah, it costs money to do it, but it's a lot cheaper than having your own R&D department. Now, for the buyer, there are a couple things to consider. One is that you're trusting that the R&D that went into that is every bit as thorough as the R&D maybe from another company, or at least you have to not care that it's not. You know, it's good enough, if you will. But it's nowhere near the level of sophistication of a driver from a TaylorMade, a Callaway, a Titleist, a Ping, a Nike, going right down the line of any major manufacturer. You know, they have teams of people working on every little nuance of a golf club, every gram of weight is exactly where it needs to be. These open models don't do that. Does it mean they're garbage? No, absolutely not. They are not garbage by any stretch of the imagination. But are they as sophisticated as the true retail stuff that we see from the major manufacturers? No, they're not, and that's the difference.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Because they cost about the same. It's not like you're getting a big deal. I like in less money and better product when you're purchasing from someone that you see on television. But I just couldn't help but wonder, is it good? I mean, should I buy that? You know, that's what the golfer goes through, right? You're having trouble with your game. You're looking for a fix.
Without question. And like any good consumer, you're looking for a deal, right?
Yes.
So if you see a golf ball that is advertised as being every bit as good as a Pro V1, but it's $30 instead of $48, it's going to raise an eyebrow. The other thing to remember, though, on these is there's a quality control thing at work, too. Might they be able to produce, you know, several dozen that are really good? Yeah. Can they produce that in a mass quantity, though, is also a question. Because the amount of time and money spent on quality control by the major manufacturers is very extensive, and that's certainly not the case with open model products.
Mike Johnson, Senior Editor, Equipment, Golf World, GolfDigest.com is where you'll find him. And, well, you probably won't find him for a while. He's going to be immersed in Hot List. Thanks so much for being on the show, Mike.
Thanks so much, Danielle. Always enjoy it.
Excellent. Aloha. We're going to come back and talk with Darren Sumimoto at the Royal Hawaiian Country Club that's been closed because they're making some really pretty greens for us. That's Royal Hawaiian Country Club. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's master craftsmen can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Indian. These bikes are gorgeous. The first brand made in America. Indian. They're sexy. Indian is military tested and approved. They supplied our bikes for World War II. Montgomery Power Sports. Visit our showroom with our friendly, knowledgeable staff at 550 North Nimitz Highway, next to Liliha Bakery. Military and first responder discounts and financing available. OAC. Montgomery Power Sports, where the rubber hits the road.
Oh, man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh, man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
You know, when you go down to Montgomery Power Sports, I was over at Liliha Bakery. They're right next door. And I was looking at all the customers, some customers looking at a GEM electric car, and they were looking at some bikes, some other customers. I thought, all those people showing off all of the things that are there at Montgomery Power Sports, they're all family. It's a family business. They've been in business for 60 years. It's really cool. You should go down there. All right. What we should do is go play golf at, oh, wait a minute, Royal Hawaiian Country Club is still closed. Darren Sumimoto, he's the director of ops, Royal Hawaiian Country Club and Olomana. Welcome to the show, Darren.
Well, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. When are we going to see the reopening of the Royal Hawaiian Country Club?
Well, our reopening is October 23rd, so next week, Friday already.
Oh, wow.
Just around the corner. We're so excited.
That you'll have to be on next week so we can talk some more.
All right, we'll do.
What kind of greens are you putting in?
Well, they're called Platinum. It's one of the newer varieties of Paspalum, and the creator, Ronnie Duncan, was actually with us last week to come out and see how his product's doing. So it was pretty exciting. It was really interesting getting to meet him, the actual creator of the grass.
Okay, this is called Platinum.
Mm-hmm.
It's a paspalum, not a seashore paspalum.
It's the same family,
okay,
but it's kind of like a hybrid.
Okay, it's a hybrid of the seashore paspalum.
Correct.
Now, Royal Hawaiian Country Club, tell us kind of the location and what the environment is like.
Yeah, it is special. We're tucked away in Manu'ili Valley on the windward side of the island in Kailua. Average rainfall, probably 70 to 100 inches a year. This year, we're actually on track to hit over 100 probably. So So it was a little bit tougher, you know, growing the grass in, but we're managing. It's working.
I asked the question because, and you set it up perfectly, it's growing the grass in very muddy conditions at times because it's, some people call it Jurassic Park, you know, especially the front nine. The front nine, you go in, you're going deep into the valley, you're going deep into this very lush. How many guys does it take to keep that course so that you can actually, you know, ride through it without being entangled?
Right now we actually have a crew of about 21 and a half.
That's a lot of machetes.
Yeah. Well, you know, most of it is manually maintained. That's why, I mean, you know, even the greens and the tees are all, they're smaller because it was a private course design. So the greens are smaller and the tee boxes are smaller because it wasn't designed for, you know, mass play like your regular public courses are. So everything is mowed with walk behind mowers. We don't ride on anything except for fairways and rough.
Yeah, now the root ball for those kinds of conditions of a green, how long does it take for it to grow in and really be solid?
Well, you know, like after talking to the creator Ronnie Duncan last week, you know, he said like we should be, you know, and like tournament conditions probably within a year.
Wow.
We got them really firm though. You know, they were grown off property. They were grown in Mililani at Southern Turf. And I just want to give a shout out to Danny Green out there that grew it in for us. He did an excellent job.
Cool.
It took about maybe four months of growing before they sod cut it out and then we started laying it down on our property.
And it really loves it there.
Yeah, it's beautiful out there.
Yeah. You sent me pictures. I mean, it just makes me want to go right away. So we're gonna go on a tour. Can't wait to see it.
Absolutely. Yes. I want to, you know, get you out there and take you around there. We did a few renovations like the last few years. We put in a bridge on number 4 and, you know, just to kind of help speed up the pace of play. And there's just a little bit more awe factor going over a ravine instead of back down and around.
Yes. You know? Wow. As long as it's not glass, like the one in China.
No, it's not glass, but it was quite an engineering feat to put that in. We had to get 2 cranes that, you know, of course you couldn't drive the crane in there, so we had to take it in parts, build them, and then pass parts of the bridge across 2 sides of the ravine to get it hung up there.
Wow, and you wonder why green fees are what the price they are.
Yeah.
The work that goes into maintaining a golf course is amazing, especially one that was built into the valley like this one is. The front of the course, which is now the back
mm-hmm.
nine, right?
Yeah.
It's, you come out of the valley and then all of a sudden you get this vista of the ocean and you see Kaneohe Bay in front of you and it looks like, I don't know, almost a linksy kind of look to it, right?
Yeah, you're right. You hit it on the nose. The front nine, back nine, 2 totally different animals. The front nine, you're in the jungles, you're surrounded by 100-foot tall trees, and when you make the turn and come up on the back nine, you're more exposed to the wind. It's hilly fairways or lumpy fairways, long roughs, different types of vegetation. So yeah, correct. It's more like a Lynx style course.
Yeah, and it's completely different color too. So you get mm-hmm. almost two different golf courses that you're playing, and it's kind of relief. You're like, okay, I've had enough of that intense green. I'm happy. I love the course. It's beautiful, Darren Sumimoto. And somebody told me they really like the changes you're making at Olomana.
Well, it's been a lot of work. Yeah, we've been filling all those whoop-de-doos in the fairways, all the, you know, over time and with all the rain and settlement and sediment rushing down from the Waimanalo Valley and Keola Hills, it's created a lot of little moguls in the fairway. So we've been cutting and filling all those, and, you know, we've got ourselves a lot of material, and it's been a lot of work, but it's getting a lot better.
Yes.
A lot better.
Yes, that's what I was told by someone that I just happened to meet in a waiting room. They were reading a golf magazine, and we started talking, and he just played Olomana, and he said, wow, they're making big changes, and it's starting to look really good. It's hard at Olomana with the amount of rain we've had in the last 3 years, because it's just been, for all the drought, you know, and
uh-huh.
There's been no drought on the windward side.
Yeah, well, you know, our superintendent, Richard Josui, he's just been doing a phenomenal job. He's turned that place around. We have healthy roots now in the greens and, you know, just all the extra work with trimming trees back and cleaning the waterways to make sure that we have drainage when it does rain heavy. We've also had some great relationships and meetings with the Bellows side, you know, the Air Force Base.
Yeah.
So that their canal will be dredged out this year. So, you know, that's a huge $5 million project that they're working on. So, you know, my hat's off to them, and we really applaud them and what they're doing because it's going to help us with the drainage. And, you know, it's a huge investment on their side. So, you know, I just want to shout out and thank them so much for the support.
It takes a community.
It does.
You know,
it does.
To take care of everything because, yeah, you want to keep it wild and beautiful, then you've got to put some work in.
Correct.
Darren Sumimoto, Director of Operations, Pacific Links Hawaii, Royal Hawaiian Golf Course, and Olomana Golf. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. Everybody come on down. We have our grand opening next week, Friday, October 23rd.
Next week. Is it next week Friday already?
It's next week Friday already, October 23rd. But I'll see you for a tour on the 22nd.
On the 22nd. Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for having me on.
Aloha. Aloha. We'll be back right after this. We're going to talk with Ryan Ballingy. He's the owner of Golf News Net right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Montgomery Power Sports, serving Hawaii statewide for 65 years. Family owned and operated. You'll find motorcycles by Suzuki, Indian, Victory, Husqvarna and Polaris ATVs and multifunctional vehicles and Jam electric vehicles. Visit our showroom with our friendly, knowledgeable staff at 550 Nimitz Highway next to the Liha Bakery. Financing available OAC. Montgomery Power Sports, wear the tires, grab the road.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Congratulations, Maria Demarest from Lahaina. You've won the Bridgestone 2015 Lady Precept Golf Balls. The number one selling ladies golf ball is Bridgestone Softest. And, you know, I know a lot of guys who like to use this Lady Precept ball. It's golf soft gradational compression core. Now we're talking physics again, okay? Delivering longer distance with better feel. Seamless cover technology produces uniform dimple coverage on the entire ball surface. Last week we found out how important is the dimple pattern. 330 dimple design, optimizing aerodynamics for moderate swing speeds. That would be ladies and men. So, you know, this is a really great golf ball, and I'm so glad that you won, Maria of Lahaina, and we're going to give away some more next weekend. We are KPUA Hilo, KGU FM Honolulu, KGU AM Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo, and our guest is Ryan Ballingy. Ryan Ballingy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Danielle. How are you?
I'm great. Fantastic. It's Saturday. It's a beautiful day outside. It's a little wet. Everybody's going to have an excuse to stay home and watch whatever they want to watch or go out and play because, you know, golfers are ducks.
Yeah, I mean, why not? Where I am today, you know, it's starting to become more like fall. So it went from 70 degrees yesterday to about 50 today. So you take advantage of the days you can play now.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. For us, it tends to be rainy days that, you know, make it difficult or windy. So what, you know, we've had so much going on in the game. This is the beginning of the new season. What are your thoughts on the end of the season, the beginning of the new season? Give us some of your thoughts on that and how you'd rate last season and what you expect for next season.
I don't know how this season, now that we're in the midst of it at the Friday.com Open, can top last season. I mean, we had one of the best seasons on record, and it was because it wasn't dominated by one guy. I certainly could put a couple of Tiger's years out there ahead of what we saw last season just because of the single-handed dominance that he had. But how can you argue with what Spieth and Day did, especially in the second half of the year, battling back and forth? Obviously, Spieth within four shots of the Grand Slam. Only one guy's ever been closer than that in a single season. That was Jack in 75. And McIlroy even won twice. And we almost kind of forgot about it just because of what happened with Spieth and Day the rest of the way. So I think we're in store for a really good battle between those three players for the world number one ranking. Jason Day is going to be number one on Monday because that's the way the algorithm works. And so he'll take over number one from Jordan Spieth after 3 weeks. And we'll see this go back and forth for a while, I think. Sometime into 2016 before one of those three guys establishes at least a couple months worth of dominance, if not a little bit longer than that. But we've got great major venues next year. We've got some really good classics, especially with Oakmont hosting the U.S. Open for the ninth time. So it should be a good year. I just don't know how we can expect much more from those three guys and then throw in Ricky Fowler on top of it again next year.
Exactly. But next year, to me, it's almost event-driven because we've got the Ryder Cup, we've got the Olympics. There's a lot of excitement just in the team building that happens over the season. This end, you know, it's a two-year process, but this is where they can really make it or break it or at least get themselves in position to be a captain's pick. And, of course, who's going to be the Olympic team representatives? Who's going to be playing for the U.S.? Who's going to be playing for all of our countries that are going to the Olympics? And that's the beauty of the Olympics is that it's not, it is, yes, it's our country and hoping we win, but it's also watching all the other countries come out and show off their stuff. It's really cool.
It'll be intriguing to see who makes the field because just the way that it works, how you get selected, the top 15 are in, only four players can be picked from a country, so you have to have basically four players in the top 15, which the U.S. should have. And then you start picking two players per country, and you just keep going down the world ranking, men and women, to get there. And just based on projections, you could get down to the 350th, 400th ranked player in the world that gets into the tournament to represent their country. It's a cool opportunity. I'm interested to see how those players then wind up competing on that stage. Do they feel a little bit liberated or a little bit invigorated because they're playing for their country? Or how does that all play out? So that's really intriguing. And then for the PGA Tour players themselves, there's a big change to the schedule this year. We're going to have basically two majors in a three-week stretch between the PGA Championship and the British Open because of the Olympics. Then we have the Olympics, which is may not be expressly a major, but it's going to feel like it on that kind of stage. So I'm really intrigued to see who, especially at the top part of the year, will play well and get themselves in position to make both of those teams, the Ryder Cup team for the U.S. and then the Olympic team. And hopefully that drives a lot of interest in the sport on the Olympic stage.
Yeah, I was talking with Alex Maselli, he's now publisher of Golf Week, earlier in the show, and in all these questions about who's going to make the team and how the teams are selected, we didn't talk about the format, and I think it's a real shame that it's stroke play. I wish it were match play somehow. It would mix it up, something like, I don't know. I'm not good at that, but it seems like we need to have something a bit more exciting than stroke play.
Yeah, especially on an international stage like that. I mean, can you imagine playing the Ryder Cup as stroke play?
No.
It just wouldn't make any sense. No one would care. And that's kind of what we're asking the Olympics to be. We're asking people to care about a four-day stroke play competition when the reality is that over 72 holes, the better players are going to find their way to the top. It's just the way it works. It's why they play 72-hole stroke play in the majors. But if you're in a one-game situation for an Olympic medal, and you could have somebody who has an 18-hole match against another guy, total underdog, and pulls it off. I think that's better for the sport than for a top 15 player in the world to walk away with a medal that they weren't going to have and they don't really care as much about anyway. I'd much rather see if 60 players in each field maybe have 36 holes of stroke play to qualify down to 8 or 10 players or 12 players, whatever way you want to build your bracket, and then play match play until you get a winner. And I think that would work out a whole lot better.
I think it'd be more compelling television, too. And since most of the audience is going to be watching on television around the world, if you want to grow the game, and the question is it going to grow the game? Maybe it'll make it more popular in places. Maybe more people will pursue it on an amateur professional level. But will more people play the game because of the Olympic coverage? That's a big question. And I know that it was sold to the Olympics kind of along that line, that this is important for the game of golf. But there have been so many surveys that say people just don't have time to play 18 holes, holes.
I play most of my golf as 9-hole rounds now. And that's because I'd rather play golf in 2 hours than play in 5 hours. But that doesn't mean I don't like 18-hole golf. For whatever reason, I'm more drawn to 9-hole golf. And for folks who are in developing countries or in places of the world where there's just not good access to golf, I mean, even think about Brazil itself. They only had 4 golf courses in the Rio area to pick from before they decided to commission Gil Hans to build the golf course that's going to host the Olympic tournament. And I forget the gentleman's name. He was a super down there. He's part of a British company manning it. And he said his goal is to make sure that more kids in Brazil and in Rio are interested in playing golf after this Olympic experience. But the big caveat for him was that it's so expensive to play golf in a place where you only have now 5 golf courses that it's almost impossible to get juniors to play. And that ultimately is what has to take shape out of the Olympic experience, is either you get government funding that's going to build that golf infrastructure, or you build these international golf federations by country that helps create that golf infrastructure. But that's what you need. You need to make it somewhat affordable, and then we can worry about time constraints, but at least somewhat affordable so folks can take up the game, especially children.
Yeah, especially children. It's cool how a first tee has worked so well in the States, bringing kids together that may not be able to afford golf otherwise, and make it affordable for them to start learning the game. And we kind of make the first tee an international endeavor, but it's huge, and it takes somebody with a lot of passion like the person had who started the first tee to begin with. I've also been looking over something that came out just this week, the inductees to the PGA of America Hall of Fame: Tommy Bolt, Charlie Sifford, Payne Stewart, and Lee Trevino are the lead inductees. Have you looked over this list?
I have, and I don't know the machinations well enough of the PGA of America Hall of Fame, but it is somewhat shocking to me that those guys are just getting into the PGA of America Hall of Fame now. You know, I think of iconic golfers. Those guys are right on the list. I know Tommy Bolt is probably known more for his club throwing than anything else, but he's an incredible character and was a great servant of the game. And Trevino, how did he not get in sooner? I don't understand that aspect of it, but it at least is a good way to honor the life of Charlie Sifford to get him inducted this time around. And Payne Stewart makes sense. I mean, he would just be getting around into his 50s at this point. So that makes sense to me for this to be his time. But I mean, those are the guys that you kind of think of as are great representatives of the sport because they have unique character. They all did something a little bit different, but contributed in a very significant way to the sport. And those guys are role models to the current generation of player. We're maybe in between kind of when Tiger was dominant and when this new crop is taking shape. So many guys were kind of faceless, listless, personalityless guys, and now we're starting to see a change in that. I think that's a good reflection of the influence of Phil and other players of that era who really wanted to show their personality on the course and make it come through, and I think we see that in a lot of the top young guys now, so I hope that keeps up.
Yeah, I was listening to Golf Channel's Morning Drive, and they had Lee Trevino and Gary Player and Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus. Of course, this is the Justice Project at Greenbrier to build a golf course on a mountaintop, and hopefully they want it. Mr. Justice would like to see it host a U.S. Open. They were talking in part about the swing. People are being taught a single swing rather than play your swing, which is that commercial that we see so often that's voiced by Arnold Palmer, right? Play your swing. Yeah. It seems like we're being taught the same swing, but we're being allowed to show our personalities. In the old days, we had our own swing, but we didn't show our... Sort of like your personality showed through your golf swing. Today, you're allowed to be yourself to an extent. And I still think a lot of people are trained to speak to the media, and that's the part that kind of turns me off. You know, I'd like to see more genuine responses to a question rather than something that I've heard somebody else say and somebody else say. It's just interesting.
And I have to give credit to McIlroy and Spieth and Day and Fowler. They give you very good answers in press conferences.
Yes. I mean,
They give you an interesting answer. They think about it. They consider the question. They'll even come back and revise their own thinking in the middle of an answer. And that's what we want. I mean, as people cover the sport, you want someone who has something to say, and something to say that's kind of interesting. And it doesn't have to be controversial for the sake of controversial. It just has to express who you are and make you different than the next guy.
Yeah.
And I think that these new guys have that. And like I said, I think that is almost the anti-Tiger influence of all of these guys choosing to have a personality that and a demeanor on the course that reflects who they are. And I think that McIlroy's golf swing and Dave's golf swing and Spieth's game, they reflect who they are as people. I really do. And I just didn't feel that for so long. And now that we're getting that back again, it's really good to see.
We're talking with Ryan Ballingy. He's the owner of Golf News Net, co-founder of Good Hood, and of course he's got his own podcast. You can find it over at golfnewsnet.com. You know, in defense of Tiger Woods, when he was a kid, about the same age as Jordan Spieth and Jason Day, maybe he'd gotten already burned a couple of times by the media.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods learned not to be himself. Because
right.
He was always shot down by the media, or he would say something and then it would be scrutinized, criticized, taken apart. And he's like, well, fine. You know, if you don't like what I say, if you're going to call me on the carpet every time I say something or twist it around, make it seem like I'm a racist just because of I said something, then I'm not going to say anything at all. And
I couldn't blame Tiger for the way that he reacted to the media for so long. And you make a great point, Danielle. I mean, he has been in the public eye. He's 39. He will be 40 in December. For 38 years. That's a long time to be in the public eye. And I think, as you mentioned, getting burned a couple times as a teenager. I also think the influence of his father kind of, you know, Earl kind of made Woods believe that play would be more demonstrative to the world than whatever came out of his mouth. So you've got to keep your mouth shut and let your clubs do the talking. And I think that kind of came through and then got self-reinforced by what happened with the Charlie Pierce piece and then just time after time after time where Woods probably felt slighted by the media twisting what he said. And now he's kind of come around full circle a little bit, seems to be a little bit more open, seems to be a little bit more willing to reflect on his career, especially now having a couple back surgeries and realizing maybe the end is closer than he would have ever wanted it to come. So I wish we would have, and by we, I mean my peers who are older than me, would have not maybe badgered Woods as much. We could have gotten a whole lot more out of him, intriguing things out of him, if we hadn't burned him so young. And I'm going to throw some of this on Earl. I mean, you think about Jordan Spieth, his father put him through media training, and not media training to sound like a robot, but someone to know how to handle questions, know how to handle the media, know what our game is, and to kind of have a little quid pro quo there. And
yeah.
Woods never felt that was necessary for him.
Well, yeah, he just decided to clam up, and it was interesting how the players, his peers, felt about him, and they didn't have for the most part, a negative thing to say about him. And so I just kind of looked at how they felt about the guy since they were the ones in the locker room. And and we were just on the outside looking in, wishing we could be on the inside. Ryan Ballingy, what are you, so with golfnewsnet.com, are you fulfilling your dream?
I think my dream always changes, but it is mostly fulfilled. It's getting there. And then the dream will change, and I'll go chase something else. I'm not a big fan of complacency, so I love my job. I can't say anything bad about my job. It's one of the coolest jobs in the world. So I'm very grateful for that and the opportunity to try to make changes and make aspirations in my career of going from just a writer to someone who runs an outlet to someone who maybe can have a little bit more of a substantial place in our industry. And hopefully that takes shape over time with a lot of hard work and the help of a lot of people. And that's kind of why I get up and get behind a keyboard every day.
Yeah.
That happens.
Absolutely. And it's kind of why I asked the question. I was wondering, are you ready to make a change? Because I'm often with Back Nine Network, Golf Channel, NBCSports.com, Golf Pro Talk, SB Nation's Waggle Room. You know, just you've done so much. And I was wondering, I wonder if Ryan's ready to change again.
Well, now I'm at the, I mean, with Golf News Net, it's grown tremendously in the last 18 months, especially in the last 12. And that's really where I think after having those experiences with Golf Channel and Back Nine, where they ended not because of me, but because of somebody else. And I wanted to put myself in a position where I couldn't fire myself. or I could, but, you know, that would be my choice.
Yes, right.
And that, I think that's the allure of doing Golf News Ed and putting it together and building an audience and taking on the entire challenge yourself, because you have to give a ton of credit to the big operations like Golf Channel and Golf Digest and Golf Week, Golf.com. They're tremendously large staff, and they put together a lot of great content, and they do it all with a lot of bodies. And I have one body, and it worked out pretty well so far. But eventually I'd like to be in a position where I can have folks who work with me on a day-to-day basis, and I can create jobs for folks in the golf industry, because if they're going away, and I want to do something to stem that tide.
Excellent talking with you. Ryan Ballingy, Golf News Net. I love the fact that you keep going. You're a true entrepreneur, and you should be. Kudos to you, Ryan.
Well, thanks, Danielle. Thanks for having me on the show, too.
Absolutely. I want to thank the people who make this golf show possible. The Golf Club's been on the air for 18 years. Thank you, Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, your company's front office space, just beautiful work they do, home project, turn it into artwork. Futura Stone, only the best. Poipu Bay Golf Course, my friends, for a long time, thank you so much. 18 championship holes you'll find at Poipu Bay Golf Course. Hosted the PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. An outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. It's the Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. If you'd like to play around today, it's not as wet as it is on Oahu. There's a 10:20 and 11:30. Get on your jet and fly over. And if you're in the pro shop, there's 30% to 40% off selected men's and women's tops and shorts and bottoms, so go check it out. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, providing CCTV surveillance systems. Creative Plumbing. Creative Plumbing, whether you're a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, a townhouse, you need to call Creative Plumbing if the water is getting out of your pipes. That's Creative Plumbing, because it's got to be done right. You want that water to stay in. Call Creative Plumbing. Montgomery Power Sports, family owned, where you'll find Indian, Victory, Suzuki, Husqvarna motorcycles, Polaris ATVs, GEM electric vehicles, Montgomery Motorsports, 550 North Nimitz Highway, next to Lidija Bakery, where your tires grab the road. And you can listen to the show anytime you'd like. We're on demand at Stitcher. It's a really cool app for your smartphone, Stitcher. And so you can plug in what shows you want to. You stitch together your radio channel, or just go to to radiogolfclub.com. I've got my entire library, only to 2005, but still, it's there. And you can listen to any show you'd like to on your desktop while you're doing work. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2015.